Hello, and welcome to You Like the Worst Stuff. I presume everyone has spent the weekend unlocking the Joker in the Suicide Squad game. Tony Sadowski.
I've actually been busy unlocking ice climbers in the first Animal Crossing.
Joe Foreman.
As I have been tapped to play the Joker in James Gunn's new DC movies, I am forced to avoid it for fear of it coloring my performance.
Like the rest of the world, sounds like it's unanimous. I'm Kat Riley. Joker Talk and more coming up on episode 521.
The stuff you like is bad. The stuff we like is worse. You like the worst stuff. The pop culturally questionable podcast. Worsting it up since 2011. Press start in 3, 2, 1.
This week in questionable pop culture, Mike Drucker wrote a great piece for IGN about trying to dominate the scoreboard for Charlie Brown Christmas Pinball.
Oh, that classic. Legendary.
I was actually aware that Charlie Brown Christmas Pinball existed because I had...
Well, you got one up on me.
Yeah, I had discovered it in Pinball FX when they had some sales going at the end of last year. So, I mean, right away, that's surprising that this is even a thing. Apparently he probably similarly discovered it when it was on sale, played it once, and realized that he was in the top 500 for the world.
Pretty
for
good.
The score.
Yeah.
And then just sort of got obsessed with working his way up the scoreboard. And of course, no one's playing this. This pinball game is not particularly popular. It's a really good piece. Mike Drucker really wrote this one out. Oh. And really just captured his own sort of idiocy, which really, this is a very Charlie Brown moment, isn't it? To try to do something and fail.
Yeah.
Like, this is perfect.
Right.
This is perfect.
It's flying that kite, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. Even his like author picture, he just kind of like has a Charlie Brown vibe going on there, like kind of a hipster Charlie Brown look
right.
to him. But
so
just like, have any of us ever had any like online leaderboard experiences with that kind of junk? Like either you play something and think, hey, I got a shot, or you play something and realize, oh God, no way.
Yeah, there was one called I Associate, and I think it's kind of like a crossword game, and I think I got in like the top 10 once.
Oof.
Nice.
Briefly.
Was that an app game? That sounds familiar. Was that like an early iPhone game?
Yeah, yeah. I was briefly, and I think it was mostly because I was one of the first people to play that particular level when it came out.
Right,
so,
right. Yeah. Yeah, the thing with app games, like every time I look at the leaderboard on any app game at all, everything seems really normal, really normal, really normal. You're scrolling up, really normal. And then all of a sudden, like, the last 10 people have completely impossible scores.
Mm-hmm.
Always. They're in the billions somehow. Like, a game that only goes up to 200, somehow they have a billion. And I can never tell if it's, like, legitimate. Is it a hacked leaderboard thing? Do people even do that? Or is it genuinely... the one person in the world who is obsessed with this app game has
right.
come up large on it.
Right, just killing it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, look at that. There's an I Associate 2 and 3 out. I guess I know what I'm doing.
Oh, snap. Cat's back
in. Oh, baby.
I await your report next week.
On the topic of Charlie Brown Pinball, I just went to see how much Pinball FX costs on Steam. And it's free. The base game is free. And
that's
then
right.
there's like three bundles of DLC. One's $15. It's on sale for 25% off, and the other two are $23.97.
Yeah, yeah. I think Hagen and I talked about this before, where it's such a bummer that this is like the eighth time that Pinball FX has re-released itself, and your purchases do not carry forward.
Oh, that's just...
'cause like I have a whole bunch of pinball tables on like the PS4 version of Pinball, whatever the heck it was called then, Zen Pinball, and
oh,
the
Zen
Switch,
pinball,
the right. Switch version. I even bought some, but like there's no centralized account, so it's kind of a drag.
If
there.
You just want the Charlie Brown Christmas level, it's available for $5.49.
That's a little on the pricey end.
Yeah, that's a high end. You're paying for the IP there, people. Woof.
Yeah.
I have to say, it looks delightful and charming, and It was a delightful, charming read. So that's lovely. And I'm glad that this piece exists to, you know, to give us a bit of levity and joy at someone clowning himself and making a little fun out of it. It was a great article at a time when there's a lot of sour news in the industry. It was pretty fun. On the leaderboard topic, I got to say, I you know, generally I'm not a leaderboard chaser. But for a while during the craze of those massively online Nintendo games like, you know, Tetris 99 or Mario 35, I was never good enough to be great at Tetris 99. There's always, I'm good at Tetris, but I'm not as good as people who I apparently play Tetris 99 for a living. But good for them. But Mario 35, quite a few times I was able to best the field in that one. And that made me feel pretty darn good to be able to come out on top frequently in that game when I was playing it early on in its short lifespan, admittedly short lifespan, because you can't get that no more. But I did enjoy that. I thought that was a lot of fun. And I got to say, my wife has been playing, and the kids off and on, but mostly her. She's been poking on the iPad Disney's Magic Kingdom games for probably a good 5-6 years, it feels like now. Just steadily growing her little park, unlocking stuff. It is like her like little dopamine hit brain break thing, and she just keeps going back to it. It's just one of her daily check-ins. Sure. And every once in a while, she'll be like, hey, I'm going to be gone for the day. Can you check and collect all my Disney stuff so I don't lose on the leaderboard? And she's definitely come into like first place on some of those challenges at some point. All right. I don't know how many people are actively playing it, but I do know that sometimes like she goes to sleep for the night and she's like, darn, I've fallen three places. So there are people who are playing and trying to unlock all the stuff and get all the little characters and come in number one to get those bonuses. So I guess there's a little community for everything.
Back in the day, I loved 3D Ultra Pinball Thrill Ride, the one that took place in Hershey Park.
Ooh.
That was a great... I spent so many hours on that game.
Brilliant.
In good news, Sega of America workers have ratified their union contract.
Yay!
Well, they're about to be fired.
Now, here's the thing.
Right?
This, you know, Sega of America workers ratify their contract protecting 150 employees. Far higher numbers than that are laid off regularly by community or companies all through the industry lately, which is horrible. But anybody, you know, starting to rally together and show that this is possible within the industry at a relatively still big name company.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Is
that's a
very
name brand
good
thing.
They fought for 6 months in negotiations, which is actually pretty short, honestly, to get here. And some of the things that, you know, they won in the process were, you know, pretty great. It's some basic protections, as often, you know, first contracts do. You're just kind of asking to be treated like human beings and not, you know, steamrolled over by the whims of management. So like one of I was reading about it on Polygon. They said one of our most notable items is the grievance process. And that is so huge because I remember when we were going through the union process back at my old previous employer, that was one of the big things, just not being subject to the whims of management. Being able to be like, pump the brakes on that. Let's talk about it before you just make this big, sweeping, stupid change that we all think is dumb. Like, that's huge in and of itself. But good for them. Certainly, I'm sure it was difficult and hard fought. But, you know, base building raises for everybody, layoff protections, you know, commitment to crediting people on games they worked on. Come on. Basic stuff that you would hope that they would get, but, you know, they might not, so I'm glad it's in
when
the
they drop their rings, they get to pick them back up.
Right. But no, I think it's a great thing and good for them. And I hope others follow. The industry sorely, sorely needs some protections right now.
Yes.
As do all. Union strong.
So let's see. Are there any major events coming up in North America next week? How about a solar eclipse?
Everyone, shield your eyes. Run.
Right, hide. Go into your homes.
Don't drive.
Wait, the animals will be confused.
Yeah,
and
what about the animals? Are there going to be like blind squirrels everywhere? Like, who's telling them not to look up?
Oh,
or
no.
Because local news is just going wall to wall with warning and precautions and buy your special glasses. And I don't hear anybody concerned for the ladybugs.
Right. This is ladybug Y2K, people. Like, yikes. Let's go.
This is why the locusts stay buried for a couple years, so they miss this stuff. Only smart bugs out there.
I've seen articles on here's how to spot fake eclipse glasses, you know, and be careful of the traffic because they're expecting hundreds of thousands of people to travel for this. And
Really?
Yeah.
How about that?
Really?
Because this is a... A friend posted an article to Facebook, and they were saying, you know, 90% isn't enough. Go to the path of totality because you owe it to yourself to see this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And it's just like... really?
Nah.
You know?
I think 90% is fine. I mean, really, 0% is fine. I'm just going to stay indoors. Like, whatever. I don't even remember the last one.
I remember seeing at least partials when I was a kid, because, you know, we did all the things with, you know, where you make a grid out of your fingers and then it casts.
There was a partial eclipse, I believe, once when I was on a field trip in grade school, because I remember it being like a thing that everybody was really excited that the eclipse happened while we were on our field trip. So otherwise would not have remembered that happened. Because I would have been in the school building inside, not looking at the sun. So
yeah. Well, somebody had going around, there was one of these websites that they were certified to recommend companies that sell safe eclipse glasses. So I was looking through their list, and I found that the one company was selling a little set for like $16, and it was the cheapest set they had, but it was two pairs of eclipse glasses and also two camera filters for your phone so you could photograph the eclipse. So... And it was the cheapest set on the site, and I was like, you know what? Why not? So maybe I can get some photos of the eclipse, too.
Here's open.
Are you guys in the path of totality?
I'm close. I think I'm also 90%, but on the other side of the 90% that you're on.
Oh, yeah. It would take me about 2.5 hours. I'd have to go down towards Indianapolis.
Yeah, right. Gotcha. Like, it'd have to be like Lake Erie, and there's never a good reason to go to the Lake Erie.
No,
area.
One should never. It's mostly blind squirrels up there anyway.
Yeah, like, geez.
That's too bad, because we have Lake Michigan here, and the sand dunes are beautiful. So, you know, Indiana Dunes National Park. What is it about Erie that's not so great of a great lake?
Doesn't have Hershey Park in it. So.
No.
Not much. Not
all
much
the best things
see.
Do. Just saying.
You Pennsylvanians.
Our intra-Pennsylvania rivalry is strong to this day.
Well, who wants to give away a free game?
How's about... Soul blight, which is what will happen if you look at the eclipse.
Right.
Your soul,
your very soul
will
is
be
blighted.
Blighted.
Evaporates.
You just don't risk it, folks. It's not. Do you want heaven or not? Because soul blight, you look at the eclipse and you're in trouble.
It's over.
This
the big
is
guy
soul
don't
blight.
Like that.
This is Soul Blight on Steam. It is a video game, so it is entirely safe for your eternal soul. 4A95Z90Z30PJJ9A for Soul Blight on Steam. Don't look at the sun.
Just watched the Ten Commandments last night on TV. Commandment 11.
Perfect.
It's right there. Don't look at the eclipse. Come on, people. God's word. On the tablet.
Well, now we come to one last thing where everybody gets a chance to show some love or throw some shade at something they want to talk about. I'm going to start us off this week, and I'm going to say it's a love-hate relationship.
Okay. Mm.
So, Spotify.
Oh, God,
I hate it, and I love it, too.
Right. I hate that it's so functional and good.
Yes, exactly.
Because I want to hate it a lot.
I had tried Spotify, I don't know, it was 2020, 2021, maybe, and I left within 2 months of subscribing because the whole Joe Rogan and his anti-trans comments.
Yeah,
they sucked. They kept giving him a platform. Yeah, and I have a lot of trans friends. And by the way, happy Trans Day of Visibility.
Right on
to everyone out there. And I left the platform. And I have tried Pandora, Apple Music. I've tried some YouTube Music. I've tried them all, and none of them have as good an algorithm for finding me new music that I like.
Mm. Dang it.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. Spotify, I'm finding several songs a week at least, and it's just like,
yeah.
So I am enjoying finding the new music. I do love that. But otherwise, and they don't pay the artists as much as any other platform. It seems, I think there's a chart going around, and all the other platforms paid the artists more money.
Oh, yeah, it's the worst. Like, all their money goes to, like, Joe Rogan. That's what sucks.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
Spotify's truly, truly terrible in that area, too.
And they lay off people all the time, and then do other, you know, give their executives bonuses, and ugh.
And while we're here, I just would like to say a big thanks to Spotify for hosting our podcast. You Like the Worst Stuff.
So good to be
available.
Hosted on Spotify.
Right. Well, Tony, what's up with you?
You know, I would like to make my one last thing this week. Princess Peach Showtime mania sweeping our household.
Oh, tell me about it, because the demo left me cold.
Yeah, we did talk about the demo and how it was a little bit lacking in that it just felt like a minigame collection, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, you are just playing levels where you try out Peach's new power. However, there are a few of the levels under each power as you go throughout the game. So you do get to use it in different ways. The game steadily ramps up its challenge level. It's never hard. It's not meant for the corest of core gamers.
Sure.
And I did purchase it because my daughter had been really excited for it and really wanted it. Realized it was out. So boink, we scooped it up. And the most enjoyment I have gotten out of it really is just watching her love it. She really, really enjoys it. And we are enjoying all the cuteness of it, unlocking Peach's cute costumes, hearing the little one-liner quips that they let her shoot out every once in a while. It has a level of, adorable Peach silliness that I really, I appreciate. I like that there's cute, weirdball Nintendo games like this sometimes. Do I wish it was a bigger, beefier, meatier adventure for me? Maybe, but also for what it is, she's loving it. So maybe it's just not specifically for me, and I'm fine with that. It's a really cute game. It's got some really, laugh-worthy moments and, in a good way. I do like that they're playing with that kind of Nintendo trope that you see them pull out sometime of using craft items to build the world and the set pieces and the theater that you're, bopping around in and beating up baddies along the way because they've taken over the theater. And it's just a cute world. I'm really, I'm glad we picked it up. And she's gotten quite a lot of use out of it so far. And, digging it. So Princess Peach Showtime, it's a hit over here for us. And your mileage is going to vary. But I got to say, we've been enjoying it. It's been a fun highlight throughout the week as she's been just tearing through it and having a lovely time. So
when I got to the part in the demo that was just decorating cakes.
Right. Super simple, right? There's not a ton to it. And I'm sure you're shocked to learn that as you go through later levels, you're going to do more cake decorating with that character. So
I bet.
That is just
that
one.
$60 game.
That's that one's right. MacGuffin. There are lots of little, abilities and costumes, and you do figure skating, and you're a mermaid, and you're a superhero, and you're a spy. And all of them have, different twists, and some of them are more challenging than others. And
it seemed like Nintendo was being kind of cagey over how many transformations
They definitely were. It's not it's not like 60 or anything. It's
right,
not a
but
ton.
It's more than like the 8 they put in the trailer.
Yes, it is more than that. You get multiple floors to this theater, and then there's like a big boss thing in the basement. Like there's lots to do, things to unlock, costume pieces for Peach and her little star dazzle character, whatever it's called.
Stella.
Yeah, Stella, thank you.
No amiibo.
And no amiibo, unfortunately.
No amiibo, alas.
But we're having a good time unlocking, cow print dresses for Peach and things like that. And it's just, it's fun. They unlock different bonus stages for each of the abilities. Kind of, I said, looking at this one, this is like Princess Peach's Kirby game. And it reminds me of those kind of little bonus things they throw into the Kirby games, right? Like you see something in a level, and then later, you're going to do it on like a, to get 3 stars on this, who can unlock X number of stars thing here. And it's
they only allow Peach to have her own game about once every 20 years. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, it's
true. Well, it sounds like Kirby's Dream Buffet a little bit, but that was, what, $15?
No. That's one of the abilities, and it's lovely.
That's
a terrible
ability to put in the demo.
Right. They did not. I don't know. It's interesting.
What a brick wall of a demo that was.
I don't think this is going to be Nintendo's highest selling game of all time. We can all just probably admit that. I will say, though, they probably know who this is aimed at.
Yeah.
And they made their best guess on what they should put in there to try to sell it to those people. We didn't even bother with the demo. In fact, no, we did. She downloaded the demo to start playing while the game was downloading. So So wow. she had played through a level, I think the first level, and then went back and she's like, oh, cool, I missed a sparkle. I'll go back and do that in the real game now. So, yeah, she's been playing it to, you know, to quote 100%. She's going through the levels, and if she misses a thing, I go, I'm going to start over again now because otherwise I'd have to come back later. And, you know, so
I gave up on waiting for something decent to come out for my last voucher and just spent it on Paper Mario Thousand Year Door.
Foreman, what is your one last this week?
Well, like we joked about at the top of the show, the Suicide Squad game has started its season. Its game as a service has officially kicked off as of last Thursday. Prior to this, it was just the story that then, after 16 or so hours, kind of just drops you off in a infinite loop of doing the same things over and over again to level up your characters.
Woohoo!
And
levels!
So now, right, everyone loves that.
Love
so now
leveling.
There's the big excitement of the season, the battle pass, an additional playable character, i.e. the Joker. And they borked it. They messed it up
bad.
Oh,
so sad.
It's so funny because, like, this is one of those games where when we first got the screenshots of it, people were like, oh, God, what's all that, like, RPG weaponry crap we have to care about? Like, oh, plus 0.5% buff, you know, that kind of crap.
Bless, I love
0.5. And then it got delayed, and then this is how you know the gamers have no idea how anything works, because it got delayed and people started talking, oh, well, maybe since it got such a negative reaction, they're going back and retooling it. No. No.
Right, they saw my comment on YouTube. No,
the
going
game
to fix
is
it.
Done, gang. All they're doing now is making sure that characters don't clip through walls. They're just working with shadows and light at this point. They decided what this game was going to be half a decade ago, and that's what it's going to be. And the arrival of the season pass is just more of it. There is no pivoting here. There is no adding in more things. The new character that you get, you don't even get until you have already grinded your way through like another 30 missions of the same thing again. So it's not like you get the character and then can launch them into the new grind, and maybe the new grind is more interesting because now you have a new character to play.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You must continue the old grind to then unlock the new character.
Suicide Squad, continue the old grind.
And there's actually like three different ladders you're now supposed to care about. There's the usual battle pass, which you can pay for or not pay for.
Right.
And if you don't pay for it, you get free things along the way. If you do pay for it, you get more things. The things in the battle pass are all bad.
Womp womp.
There's nothing in there that you're going to be like, oh, God, I really need that. I really need that hideous costume for Harley Quinn. I must own it. Like, there's nothing like that. Then there is the actual path of the new grind to face the new Brainiac, which is just going to be the same Brainiac you've already dealt with at least once, probably twice by now. And then there is the path to actually, like, unlock the Joker himself. It's like a whole separate thing. It's not even like part of the battle pass. It's like a separate pass. It's so ridiculous. It's just so unnecessarily heavy. And it just, why is all of this mess here?
Yeah. That's a shame.
So yeah, that game's pretty much dead, I think, now at this point, because this was like their one chance to say, yep, yes, we have big plans. Look, it's an entirely new environment. Here's a new character that plays differently. Here's a new movie. Oh, listen to this. When you first boot it up and go into the new season, you get a cutscene. Now, one of the big pluses for this game was that everybody thought that the cutscenes were really good. The facial animation was really great. It was well written. The performances were good. Well, the cutscene that kicks off the season of the Joker is one of those, like, comic book style cutscenes.
Oh no!
Where they just have flat art that moves a little bit.
Oh, it's a Sega Genesis suddenly. Cool.
Oh, like that's how you know the money has run out. Like we couldn't even get a decent opening cutscene. We just have to have this comic book cartoon kind of thing where
that's
it just like dissolves from one screen to the next and maybe Joker's arm moves. Like,
Lame. What a terrible step back. That's sad.
Yeah, Yeah, I believe there is an actual decent cutscene that happens when you finally do unlock the Joker after you've, you know, played for another 20 hours, but who's going to see that?
Yeah, not so much. Not so much. I don't know why this came up. My son and I were talking about Switch games recently, and Tears of the Kingdom came up, and we were chatting about the Minoru quest at the end to get the fifth sage, and I don't know why I hadn't thought about it in this light before, but that was just going to be the DLC for the game, and they just gave it to us, right? Like they're just fair. Like, you know what? Just screw it. Just put that in there. It's fine. It's great. If they don't do it, they don't do it, but it's already there. They don't have to complain later. We don't have to worry about launching it. It's just put it in. It's
right.
Fine.
We're dinging them an extra $10 anyway.
But that whole thing completely was going to be like get Link's horse motorcycle or whatever in this one.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
That's probably probably good.
Yep.
Yeah, notice how no DLC announcements for that game. Nintendo is fully on to the new machine and is just kind of like coasting this year.
Moving along to whatever the heck is next. Yep.
Well, right. It seems like it'll do it for episode 521.
Not bad.
Until next time, we are out of here.
Bye, y'all.
Thanks for listening. Say hi on Threads and Instagram at You Like the Worst Stuff, and on Blue Sky at The Worst Podcast. We have a tip jar at patreon.com/worststuff. And thank you if you throw a buck our way. Music provided by Eric Madias of soundimage.org. Until next time, this has been Robot Lady. Game over.
I wanted to make my one last thing Beyonce's new Cowboy Carter album, but I need to listen to it a few hundred more times to really be able to gush about it sufficiently. She makes the best stuff.